Hello everyone, my name is Joshua Gilliland and I'm one of the two attorney bloggers on The Legal Geeks. Thank you for joining me today for a solo adventure at Elusive Comics and Games in Santa Clara, California to discuss Infamous Iron Man. This is written by Brian Michael Bendis and it follows the events of Secret Wars. It's an interesting take on Dr. Doom, because at the end of Secret Wars, Doom goes from playing God and holding Battle World together to being knocked back down to mortal man and his face fixed. It was a nice send-off for Reed Richards and a interesting spin to do to Victor Von Doom. Doom is the quintessential bad guy of the Marvel Universe. He's gone up against Iron Man, he's gone up against the Avengers, he's the most established foe of the Fantastic Four. So seeing him trying to be a good guy, well, that's just fascinating. The motivation of this started in the last run of Invincible Iron Man, where Doom, in his sorcerer capacity, was trying to help out Tony Stark against a variety of different foes. Good run, Doctor Strange was involved. It was entertaining. Doom wants to be Iron Man now. At the end of Civil War II, Tony is in a coma. Some people think he's dead, but he's basically in a coma in a SHIELD holding facility. Doom's motivation is to make up for a lifetime of horrors. This begins in issue one with saving Maria Hill, the director of SHIELD. By the end of the issue, he meets Tony Stark's AI, because Stark basically downloaded his essence to be artificial intelligence. And in a conversation between the two, Doom states he will be the new Iron Man and that he wasn't asking permission. He was basically telling Tony's digital ghost what was going to happen. Legally, this is problematic. So we have Doom, who's the mad scientist, gone good, super evil genius, wants to now help people and wants to dedicate his life to protecting instead of conquering, and we've seen that in a couple ways that manifests in issues 1 through 3. But Tony wasn't cool with this, and whoever is, you know, since Stark's not dead, it's not someone managing his estate, but someone with power of attorney for his estate that in theory could talk with Tony's essence, which is now artificial intelligence. This just gets weird. Gets super, super weird. So, is false impersonation taking place with Doom going around in a similar but different gray armor to Iron Man, with the green cape still at times, sometimes without the cape? Is that false impersonation? Well, let's start with New York law, since a lot of the Marvel comics take place in New York. In New York Penal Law Section 190.23 states, a person is guilty of false personation when, after being informed of the consequences of such act, he or she knowingly misrepresents his or her actual name, date of birth, or address to a police officer or peace officer with the intent to prevent such police officer or peace officer from ascertaining such information. Well, not really is that happening. Victor Von Doom is not saying he's now Tony Stark, he's saying he's now Iron Man, and he's making no bones about the fact that it's still Victor Von Doom who's the new Iron Man. So it's not false impersonation in that sense. It is super confusing if you are a super bad guy who's now going around saying, I'm now a good guy. Let's compare this to California law. Starting with identity theft, California Penal Code Section 528.5 states, any person who knowingly and without consent credibly impersonates another actual person through or on an internet website or by other electronic means for purposes of harming, intimidating, threatening, or defrauding another person is guilty of a public offense. Well, Doom's not doing that at all, so that doesn't apply. Let's take a look at California's false impersonation law, which is California Penal Code Section 529. Again, Doom is not assuming the identity of Tony Stark. He arguably is assuming the representation of Iron Man, which is owned and created by Tony Stark. So once again, we don't have Doom issuing orders, signing documents, trying to take charge of Stark Industries, anything like that. So none of those things are happening, which means we really don't have false impersonation either. What we have is something completely different. So what other options can we look at here? Well, on one level, this is a form of trademark infringement, because the image of Iron Man is associated with Tony Stark. He owns it, he controls it. Stark's probably had good lawyers. They've registered trademarks and copyrights for Iron Man, perhaps down to the different paint schemes that Tony has had over the years. So when we look at infringement, we have to see whether or not Doom is using any infringing marks in commerce. And that really doesn't seem to be happening yet. Doom hasn't become a superhero calling himself Iron Man in order to sell t-shirts, mugs, and other merch. That's not happening with him. So we do could get into the issue of, say, like dilution, because if Doom, who's the world's worst supervillain, is now claiming to be a superhero with the name Iron Man, perhaps that would be an argument that there's a dilution of all the good reputation that Iron Man has thanks to the life of Tony Stark. Or we get into the other issue with this, that we could again look at California law, which gets into the issue of using somebody's likeness to promote oneself for, say, advertising. Any person who knowingly uses another's name, voice, signature, photograph, or likeness in any manner, or on products, merchandise, or goods for the purpose of advertising or selling, or soliciting purchases or products, merchandise, goods, or services without such person's prior consent, shall be liable for any damages sustained by the person or persons injured as a result thereof. Well, again, Doom's not going into business for anything. So a lot of the remedies that we would associate as possible ways to stop this aren't on point. And this raises interesting issues, because Tony's attorneys should be able to send a takedown notice that, hey, you're infringing, that the name Iron Man is owned by Tony Stark or by Stark Industries, and thus they should be able to preclude Doom from using that name. Now, things do further get interesting with the fact that Dr. Doom is the leader of a country. So whatever he does in his home country, he would be protected by sovereign immunity, or in his case, crown immunity, because he's the ruler of the country. And so he can kind of do what he wants free of prosecution, short of war crimes and all those other horrible things. Would diplomatic immunity apply to him in any way, shape, or form for what he's doing in the name of Iron Man in the United States or other countries? So let's take a look at the Vienna Convention on Diplomatic Relations. And that's where we get the concept of diplomatic immunity from the UN Charter, which furthers the principles of sovereign equality of states, the maintenance of international peace and security, their promotion of friendly relations among nations. Doom is not really, for all intents and purposes, on a diplomatic mission. That requires other things to be taking place, like the US State Department being notified of, like, hey, I'm coming to the United States on a diplomatic mission to do ABC. And that's not happening here. He's here bland superhero. This is a fascinating character exploration of Victor Von Doom. Legally, it's also weird, because I do believe there are grounds for Stark's attorneys to preclude Doom from using the name Iron Man. I would do a typical takedown notice. That would be my way of approaching the situation. But Doom's not using anything in commerce. So you're tarnishing the name of Iron Man if you have a war criminal who's running around calling himself the name of a fallen superhero. Especially when we know the intent of that fallen superhero was, I don't want you doing this. Now, we've seen a lot of interesting Dr. Doom storylines over the decades. In the 80s, we had Emperor Doom, where Doom did conquer the world. And using the Purple Man, he mind-tricked the entire planet, and everyone believed he was in charge. And that story focused on how he got bored. He got bored being in charge, and he kind of was okay to lose and escape, because after conquering the world, there was nothing left for him to do. Getting mundane discussions about budgets really is not that fun, so he's in it for the game. This arc is different, because in Battle World, he had held the universe together after the battle with the Beyonders, with reality disintegrating. Issue 3 explores this, and it's the first real discussion of Secret Wars that I've noticed in any of the comics. I don't read every Marvel title, but this is the first I've really seen it discussed and acknowledged. He was the world. He held it together, and he got bored with it there. And he also acknowledges it wasn't perfect. So for him, trying to atone for all of his misdeeds is a new direction for him. We'll see how long it continues. But he's going through this metamorphosis where he is trying to protect instead of conquer. In issue 2, after defeating the Mad Thinker, is leaving the area and tells two kids, hey, don't go in there, it's dangerous, and disappears. Evil robot crawls out. Doom comes back, takes care of the robot, and tells the kids, I'm still not used to protecting life. So this is still new to me. So we'll see where this goes. I'm enjoying the series a lot because it's different. And seeing the take of Doom's motivation, because they do acknowledge the Doctor Doom and Doctor Strange graphic novel where they save Doom's mother. Because Doom's mother being held by the devil was a significant reason for him being a bad guy. So his face getting melted off. He had issues. Well, Mom's now saved. And Mom's in the picture. She hasn't appeared to her son yet, but she was messing with Ben Grimm at the end of the third issue. So we'll see where the story goes. But legally, it's interesting to explore what legal rights Tony's AI ghost could exert to stop Dr. Doom from going around calling himself Iron Man. I highly recommend this series, and thank everyone for listening today. And to my friends at Elusive Comics, thank you for letting me once again use your great podcast room. And stay geeky, America. Stay geeky.